Hi, everybody. My name is Pete Schmader, and I'm a recovering capitalist. It's the wrong night. Sorry. I went to Wall Street in 1987. These are not the clothes that I wore when I went. I left on April 1st, 1999. And I realized I was having a cigarette out back before we all got together. And I was just thinking about having a cigarette outside of a building on a November night, and I was like, I've done this before. And I, November night, cigarette outside a building, thinking about money. So I went to my phone and I looked at the calendar and saw if it would take me back to 1997, November 97, and it did. And it's not this phone, but I remember the dates that the firm I worked for did an investors conference in New York. I didn't deal with individuals, I dealt with institutional investors. And what I basically did was bring companies they wanted to invest in to them. And if they trusted us and liked the company, they paid my firm. Invested the money, and then I got a piece of that. I brokered a transaction. So we were having an investors conference in New York at the Metropolitan Club, which is one of those robber baron mansions on Fifth Avenue and 60th. And I was smoking outside, the building, November, second Monday in November, actually. And what was going on upstairs was a room full of professional, high-caliber, international real estate investors, and the topic was they're going to invest in prisons. And the reason they were going to the states were getting rid of running prisons and privatizing them. And I just remembered that tonight as I was smoking a cigarette, because it really turns out that I got to Wall Street in 87 on a phone call and a lie, and I got sprung in 99 on the truth and criminals. My brother-in-law made a phone call for me in 87 because I really wanted to go to Wall Street to make a lot of money. And that was actually the catchphrase. He said, when you go in and they ask you why you want to go from McGraw-Hill and working as an editor and a writer and making $60,000 a year on a steady salary that comes once a month, and why you want to go down to nothing and work on commissions, it's because you want to make a lot of money. And they love that. So I sat down. I got this interview on the phone call. I went to meet the head of sales. And he did. He asked me why I wanted to come to Wall Street and leave such a career I'd been in for the previous 12 years. I said, I want to make a lot of money. And he said, do you have any sales experience? And I said, no. And that was the lie, because I'd actually realized I'd been selling since I was a baby. I mean, you know, when I came into the world and my parents handed me off to a stranger who slapped me, I've spent a good deal of time trying to sell myself to other people as worthy. It's true. So I lied to this guy and he hired me anyway. And Wall Street got me everything that I was looking for. I was looking for lots of money, and there were days when after these relationships that I've established with institutional investors in New York, and a deal would get priced and their participation in it would get calculated, and the 7 cents a share that would get paid to the firm I worked for, and my 30% of that 7 cents would get calculated. I'd have really marvelously rich days. Like sometimes a day would occur that was more money than I never thought I would make cumulatively in a lifetime. But I wasn't happy. Caleb's song he did with the Brakeman to open this part of the show is really, we could have stopped at that for my story. I was restless, I was irritable, I was discontented. I was not very good for the people around me. I was not very good for my wife or my two sons. Not that I was an awful person, but I was not a happy person. So out of this investors conference came a deal that my firm got involved with to represent Corrections Corporation of America, largest manager and builder of prisons in the United States at the time. And I was riding up to New York on the train, getting ready to visit my clients, one in particular, a real estate investor. That's all they did, so they would have played very big in this deal. And I'm reading it, and it's just not sitting right with me. It's not sitting right with things I believed in and also things I knew about my family going way back. It's like there was nothing in it that they'd agree with. You know, butchers helping out my grandmother during the Depression, letting her slide for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks so she could feed two kids. Just that kind of generosity of spirit and compassion for somebody who's not doing so well. And just the way my mind works, there's not too far a distance down the hallway that holds that thought from a prisoner. I don't care what he's done. So anyway, I get to New York and I go to see Cohen and Steers. And Bob Steers is an old line high wasp guy, and Marty Cohen, my contact, was son of immigrants to the Lower East Side of New York. They were active socialists in the 30s. And he was a gruff guy, and he dressed gruff, and I sat down across from the desk, and he's looking at this thing. And he says, Petey, what are we doing? I'm going to make money, a lot of money, on the backs of prisoners. And he articulated for me everything that I couldn't put words to on the ride up in the train. And I said, Marty, thank you. And I put that together with the evening back at the Metropolitan Club a week or so earlier, and sitting around a table talking about this kind of talk with a mouthful of lump crab and a little Tiffany blue box. I opened it up in blue velvet pouch that had four shell, like cockle shell shaped sterling silver candy dishes in it. And I couldn't rectify any of this stuff. And I came back to Baltimore and I told my sales manager that, this is my real thinking. I had told myself all sorts of stories over the years of accumulating money about why it was a good thing. And why it was an okay thing. My stories always work because of the truth that I leave out of them. And I said, you know, Tommy, you don't want me on your team anymore. And he said, why? And I told him pretty much what I just told you. And since then, it's been a slow but steady sort of divestiture of all of my stuff, and a kind of restoration of my own sanity. Others around me benefit from that. I've done things like sold my furniture in my house or apartment. I've done that a few times in order to get money. I've cleaned houses. I've sold guitars that I had. I've done anything that I could to bring a buck in the door, especially since I started this coffee shop. Did that bell ring yet? But the point of it is, to me, that it didn't buy happiness. It took me a place that I would, in such an unhappy place, it took me a long time to recover from it. And all the things that people had taught me over the years that were of substance and could be sustained over a long period of time as opposed to a big bag of money were much more important. So my story isn't as entertaining as the others, but it's very personal to me, and I thank you all for listening.